Well, good day, and once again, I'd like to welcome you to this verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry. This ministry is brought to you by The Wash and Word. That's the hand car washing business that's located in Church Hill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. My name is Matthew Minona, along with my wife, Victoria. We are the owners and the operators of The Wash and Word. You can find us there in the Powell Shopping Center. And I'd like to remind you that if you're in the area, we play these messages, all five of them, that we air each week. They originally air on WMCH 1260 AM radio at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. And then we take those five messages and we play them on a loop. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they are going forth out into the parking lot area of The Wash and Word. So if you're in this area, you maybe you're over at the gym or the library, or you're eating your lunch, or at Patsy's Bakery, or whatever you're doing, waiting for your wife to finish shopping up at Homestead Antiques, you can flip to 107.1 FM, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the Word of God in a verse-by-verse format is going forth 24/7. And this is why we created The Wash and Word, so that the Word of God can go forth in a sort of an unorthodox manner. We looked around one day and we said, this world doesn't need another church, but does need more of the Word of God. So what can we do to get the Word of God out there? So we created the car wash. This is how we earn our money, and we use that money to support this ministry. So we're a self-supported ministry. If you agree with the verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you believe that the whole counsel of God's entire Word was always meant to be given to us to be taught, not just bits and pieces of it, then you can support us simply by coming by. And like Paul, we want to earn the money it takes to keep the ministry alive. So that's how you can do it. And another great way to encourage to support us is to come by and encourage us. Just let us know you appreciate what we're doing here, and that goes a long way. Okay, let's get into it. If you have any questions about the ministry or about the business, go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can, again, find out information about the ministry or the business. We also archive all of our old previously delivered messages, so you can catch up. So if you haven't been listening, you can catch up, and then you can pick up with us where we are now, which happens to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to pick it up in verse 7. Now remember, Paul's dealing with the covering of one's head. And again, we talked about this in our last message. A woman was to cover her head while a man was to uncover his head. And this was just a symbolism for the roles that we play as men and as women. Men supposed to be the head or the leader. Therefore, their head should be uncovered, whereas the woman is supposed to come under the authority of the man, who is in turn under the authority of Jesus, who is in turn, or was when he was here, under the authority of God himself. So they are one back in heaven again. But here, Paul is continuing his thought. Look at verse 7 in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Now hang with me. These are his words, not mine. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman created for man. Well, let's stop right there, because why this is such a difficult teaching to obey and to understand is a direct result of the culture that we have created, the society in which we now live. You see, it was never meant to be such a difficult teaching, or such a difficult teaching to come under the authority of. God created man in his own image, and he created woman from man to be a helpmeet for the man. And while this creation order shows a sort of a caste system in a sense, it was never meant to be that way. You see, when the order is put in the perspective that God has laid out in his word, it works to perfection. Women, the obedience and the submission that you give to your man makes your relationship to be perfect order, for which God can come and bless that union. But I get it. Most men, a lot of men, aren't putting their submission and obedience in order. And if the man cannot be submissive and obedient to the Word of God, all of the Word of God, and submit themselves to Jesus, then it's like when you tile a floor. If the first row is crooked, by the time you get to the other wall, you're going to have a really crooked last row of tiles. And if any part of this pattern God has put together is askew, it's going to create problems in the relationship. So it's not all, it's not a woman's fault if they do not come under the obedience and the headship of a male or of a man, if the man is not coming under that obedience and submission to Christ. Does that make sense? Listen, the principle of headship is a creation idea, not a New Testament idea. You know, a lot of people think that this comes from the New Testament and that God created a new... No, this goes back to the garden. You know, understand that man and women were both created in the image of God. It's not that man was created in the image of God and a woman was created in the image of man. A woman was created from man because we were meant to be connected on such an intimate level that literally part of our flesh and bone is connected to our woman or our wife. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." But it says that males were created in the image and glory of God. That's what we read in verse 7. Now we need to understand the word glory if this is going to make any sense to us. You see, the glory of God is never and was never meant to be covered. God's glory was always meant to shine. It should never have been put under a bushel. God's glory was never meant to be hidden. Always was God's glory meant to be shined and visible. It was never meant to be hidden. And this relates to the uncovering of one's head in the public assembly by the male. And if we were created in the image and glory of God as men, verse 7, then when we get into the public assembly, we are to illuminate the glory of God by not covering our heads. And this does apply very much to the culture in which this particular scripture in this area of time was written. We don't have that head covering as much in the culture we live in today. Jews have the beanie that they wear, that sort of thing. But when it was written, it made a lot more sense in the culture. But the principle is the same. We are not meant to cover or hide the glory of God. We call Jesus the Son of Man. That's what Jesus called himself. But in John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." We have seen his glory. We've seen it. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So he calls himself Son of Man to bring forth God's glory. We have seen the glory of God as we look upon the face of Jesus, the Son of Man. So this unveiling, this bringing forth of the glory of God goes everywhere Jesus went. Thus, as we go forward, we bring the glory of God everywhere we go as regular men in today society. But Paul says, "But the woman is the glory of man." This is all verse 7 now. You see, women were created from man, but they were still created in the image of God. We just read that scripture in Genesis. Men will find their delight in women. You see, you women were created in the glory of man so that man may find his soulmate and take delight in her. You see how this is all beginning to tie together as a perfect pattern to follow, to have a relationship that is free from all of the discord. Proverbs 5:18 says, "May your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." A woman completes a man. Hey, and why not? Because on a molecular level, she came from us. She took part of man. And some say she's been taking ever since, but we won't go there. And the unity of a man and a woman is a unity of reuniting. It's a unity of reuniting and making completion. So please hear this. The symbolism of the veil is not about submission, but it is about intimacy, unity, and completion. Thus, we give a wedding ring at the time of this unity and completion. It's because that in the eyes of God, the only covenant greater than marriage is the one that we have with Christ. So this union becomes a completion. It's not a submission as much as it is a completion. Does that make sense? Now, verse 10 continues, and it's a bit odd. It says, "For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head." Again, this seems kind of like an odd scripture to put in there, especially after what he was just talking about. But he says, "For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head." But I believe what he's talking about here is this underlines the marriage concept, that when two people come together as one, they are now able to minister together. As equals in Christ, when we come together, we come and we minister the Word of God in its many forms. Men and women certainly are created differently, but as we come together as one, we make a complete, something that is incomplete apart from one another, because a male has his own type of delivery of ministry. We are created differently. We think differently. The woman thinks with a different part of her brain. She's created with different types of gifts, having the motherly instinct and that sort of thing. But coming together, we create a perfect unity in bringing forth the Word of God. 1 Peter 4:10, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in all of its various forms." But again, when a man is present, the woman should acknowledge the headship order that God has laid out since the beginning of creation. And yes, women should minister and can minister, and they should and can pray and prophesy and love and nurture and care and show compassion, and they could cry with one another. And of course, they're able to do all these things. The veil that Paul is talking about here merely represents a right understanding of the godly respect and order that was laid out in the garden. And as for the part in verse 10 where Paul says, "For this reason and because of the angels, a woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head," as for that angels part, look, I'm not afraid to admit it. I don't get it. I don't understand what that means. And it's okay not to understand all of the Word of God. I'd rather tell you that I don't understand something than come up with something that may be wrong. So I'm not sure what that means. But it doesn't take away from what we are learning and what we are understanding in terms of what God is doing here in the order of submission. And so in verse 11 and 12, we'll finish there. "In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God." Isn't that interesting? I love how Paul levels the playing field here. He says, look, in Christ we're equal. And sure, a woman may have come from man, but God flips the script because man has to come from woman. Isn't that pretty awesome? God's word is amazing. Look, we'll have to get back into this when we pick it up again. Join me, come back, and listen to more tomorrow at 8:30 on WMCH. Come out to the Wash and Word building. We play it on a transmitter on 107.1 FM. You can hear these messages playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And don't forget to drop by the Wash and Word. Let us wash your car. This is how we earn the money to support this ministry. And we encourage you to just come by and take a look at what we're doing over here. We know that God's word is strong and powerful. And lastly, I want to invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Sunday nights especially, I teach verse by verse at 6 p.m., but come on out Sunday mornings at 10 to a church that God is moving in. Have a blessed day.